A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
It's weird. We've done it the other way round to normal. We're recording this after we've done the actual show as opposed to before it.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I don't know how long we're supposed to go now because we always have like a hard time limit of when we have to go live. That's kind of our way to know. How will he know? We've got quite a bit to discuss on this week's AEW Dynamite show. So let's waste no time in getting to it because there were two huge debuts and some confusion around how to say a name. I hope you like that and fart jokes. Here is the show.
We've had two new AEW debuts. Abaddon, one of the scariest wrestling costumes I've ever seen. Oh, hello.
Abaddon.
Abaddon. What did I say?
Abaddon.
Abaddon. The Don of ABBA, Swedish pop music. Whatever her name is. Abaddon?
Abaddon.
Abaddon. Abaddon.
Yes.
Abaddon.
Abaddon.
I hear this is a Superman referencing name, means king of the king, knight of the afterlife or something.
I don't know if it's from, I mean, Superman may have used it, but I think it's also from something outside of the comic book world.
Something outside of the, no such thing exists. Whatever she is, it's terrifying. It's a female wrestler who I think has wrestled on Dark before. This was her Dynamite debut on this show.
She has indeed. I was actually just watching her Dark match while I was waiting for you to sort your technical issues out. I was watching her debut match against Shida on AEW Dark. And yeah, but this was her Dynamite debut. And Crikey, you want to talk about sort of like, I mean, making an impact, I think is, you know, possibly too strong a phrase. But she certainly made an impression.
Yeah, her entrance is kind of like this ring-like thing where she crawls in a contorting way down the ramp. The sort of the fabric of the actual lens looks different as well. It's like a flickery slasher movie, like when she's walking down, sort of a, what is it called? Grindhouse. That's it. Has a grindhouse feel. And then she gets in the ring and you can see her face. And good Lord, I love scary things, I would say. I like gore occasionally. I like the way I react to gore. This is so upsetting to look at. Yeah. I don't like it. I haven't looked at the thumbnail to this video.
Yeah, it because it is just big old Abaddon face and, you know, very pretty Ricky Starks. And it is like, it is quite a, it's a very striking appearance. Like, I believe she calls herself the Living Dead Girl. I'm not really aware of her stuff outside of basically, because I didn't even see the match she had on Dark. Like, this is my first exposure to Abaddon. But from what I can gather, looking at the chats that was in here and looking at the chat was in your review video as well, when she made her debut on Dark, there was like a lot of fan swell to be like, oh my God, you've got to sign her. I'll be honest, my first thought was, it's okay, well, we can't get Rosemary, so we'll just get we'll get a different version of Rosemary, I guess. That was my very cynical reaction at first. Like, this looks like dime store Rosemary. However,
there are levels of gore.
Exactly, which is why I said that was my cynical hat being put on. To take off that cynical hat, it was very, very cool.
Because Rosemary, that's a sort of character design I can look at and go, oh, creepy, gothic, but cool. This one, genuinely want to look away from. It's that kind of, this face is going to haunt my dreams. That the sort of, like, for podcast listeners, it's kind of a one white contact lens and another dark contact lens. But the way they're put in, it kind of makes like the eyes are bulging out of their head.
Well, yes. So the red one, it looks like her eyeball has burst open with blood. Like, that's the way, and it looks like the blood has just filled within the eye, which I think is what it's designed to look like. And it is terrifyingly scary. And that's actually, you know, pretty cool in a way.
Yeah. And how they set her up was a wonderful misdirect, because Anna Jay, who we'd previously seen in the lockdown era, I think her QT Marshall's gym era of Dynamite, she made her return here. And before she came out for this very match, she got the video package. She's walking along. Oh, it was a real good opportunity to be on Dynamite before. I'm really hoping to prove myself. Yada, yada, yada. A sort of look behind the kayfabe heel character that she played. And you're like, okay, I've done this route before. They're giving her the vignette to build her up because they're going to sign her and push her in this division. Here's like the person behind the character to get us as fans invested. She comes down to the ring dressed as Zatanna, and then out comes Abaddon.
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 Abaddon. Am I saying it wrong now?
I don't know. I feel like we're saying the same thing. Abaddon came
is
down.
Is it Abaddon? Oh, I've forgotten already now. You've confused me. It's not
Abaddon
your fault, really.
Comes down to the ring, terrifying. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is a cool new person, but she's obviously going to be squashed by the person who just got the vignette. Nuh-uh. Abaddon won in like under a minute and just posed there being creepy. And afterwards, they announce Abaddon is All Elite.
I believe it's Abaddon. Just
Abaddon.
I was just quickly checking the chat there after we had that chat, and it's hilariously everyone saying it differently. But the most consistent one is Abaddon.
Abaddon.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said initially?
No, you're saying Abaddon.
Abba and yeah. Don.
Don. Yeah. Yeah
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I you... said at the start no, of the you, show. No,
you said Abaddon. Or did I say that?
Abba, the Swedish pop band.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Don.
Like Don Corleone.
Don Giovanni.
Yeah.
Abba, Don. Yes?
Now we're on the same page.
Let's move on. It was an effective debut, but I never want to see her face again because it terrifies me.
Yeah, just to throw some praise onto this, I thought this was excellent because I mean, my notes here are video package for Anna Jay. They're really trying to build new characters because Britt Baker's out with the injury. Chris Statlander is now with an injury, and AEW's already quite dwindling women's division that they had has lost two of its more prominent stars. So this was like, okay, well, we really need a bit of a reset on this. We need to create some new characters that people can get behind. What a smart way to reintroduce Anna Jay. That's a really smart thing. And you say like, and it was like Abaddon killed her. Like this was a complete domination squash match. It was really, really smart. Like I did not see it coming at all. And then you get the Dark Order after this. The Dark Order come out and effectively like seemingly recruit Anna Jay as well as give Colt Cabana this letter. So there was like these entwining storylines, which I thought was really, really nice.
Yeah, AEW, after months and months and months, has seemingly finally decided, okay, the we're going to do all the women's storylines now and all the tag division storylines. It was fantastic. So, you know, we've been slamming and criticizing AEW, you know, very vocally. The people who don't watch the full episodes won't get that we do actually criticize AEW. But yeah, this is, we've been criticizing them, so it's only right that we applaud. They set up about three different women's division storylines outside of just, oh, I'm going to be the best. Oh, no, I'm the best. So
which I do feel they sort of dropped the ball with this week. Like, there was no follow-up to the Shida thing last week. Like, there was just, like, Tony Schiavone just was like, oh, a match is happening. Like,
you're never happy, Luke.
And, like, Shida was there. Shida was in the crowd. Like, you could have done something.
So the other debut was, whereas Abba Don was fully signed, it seems, with the All Elite graphic announced on Twitter.
So was Ricky.
Oh, Ricky was also, signed. Okay. Well, this was, that's a shame. I'll get into that why, because I really enjoyed this development of the TNT title open challenge gimmick, because it's not just an open challenge now, as Cody said after winning the belt. It's a invitational, really, so for people not just on the AEW roster. We've had Jungle Boy so far, we've had Mark Quinn, and on the third time of asking, the so-called hottest free agent in wrestling, Ricky Starks, I've written this down wrong. Former NWA TV champion, the inaugural NWA television champion, my notes tell me, he comes in to answer, you know, someone without an AEW contract. And I quite like the idea of that and then him not getting signed. You know, it's just people from outside trying their hand at this title.
From what I can gather, like, in the kayfabe world, he wasn't signed with AEW, but then Tony Khan signed him after this performance. So he came in and impressed the brass and got himself a job.
Yeah, out of the two debuts, this was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Ricky Starks has got I've never really seen any of his work before, and it was decent here, but it wasn't like that sort of groundswell of, oh my god, AEW should sign this guy. This was not a Cedric Alexander at the end of his round in the Cruiserweight tournament. It wasn't when Shanna or Chris Statlander first got over in AEW. You didn't have that sort of groundswell of fan support asking for it. And I think handing out those contracts like that almost cheapens the gimmick of awarding people them.
Yeah, I would certainly say that. And like you, I thought it was almost cooler that it wasn't someone that was within the AEW ranks. And they, you know, were constantly referencing the NWA in this, which kind of, you know, makes wrestling feel like this much larger world, which it is, rather than feeling this very small, self-contained, singular world. So I thought actually the expansive nature of that was cool. And as you said in your review, you know, it's the exciting part of this open challenge is that you could get a Marty Scurll answer at some point, a Tanahashi answer. Like, there's all these sorts of various dream match options that sort of opens itself up to.
Yeah, and this match itself was, yeah, Ricky Starks coming out. Arn Anderson said he'd pick someone for Cody. Don't worry, he's done his homework. And it was a decent match. Nothing really stood out to me at all. Probably I enjoyed the other two matches in the US title feud so far.
The TNT title feud.
What did I say?
US title.
Ah, it is though, isn't it? Yeah, Sometimes I just call it the US title in my head.
I thought it was, you know, really decent action between the two. Cody hit the crossroads for the win. I thought his promo beforehand was very interesting when he, you know, said, like, am I even part of the Elite anymore? Because last week I was getting beaten up by the Inner Circle. There was no Matt or Nick Jackson, there was no Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, all the while constantly having stroking his face with his four fingers and sort of like constantly. So, I wonder what you might be teasing there, Mr. Rhodes. I wonder, as I stroke my beard with four fingers.
It's a weird direction to take because he is such a baby face right now. I wasn't prepared for this version of the character so suddenly. That's not to say I'm not into the idea of a, nearly said Bullet Club Civil War then. It kind of is though, isn't it? Of the Elite versus the Nightmare Family. I think Omega, Page, Bucks versus Cody, Dustin, QT Marshall.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that Cody could build, it doesn't need to be the Nightmare Family, it doesn't need to be Dustin and QT. It could be anyone from within it. He might just start to, like, you know, create his own ranks. Ricky Starks could be one of them. You know, could be some of these young pups that he's wrestling in this TNT Open Tournament.
And that might appeal to him. Yeah, that might appeal to him quite greatly. He's obviously very passionate about getting over new wrestlers. But overall, how did you feel about Ricky Starks' performance?
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was a very, very solid performance. It wasn't like you watched him and was like, oh my God. But then it was at the same time, you didn't watch him and go like, man, like, he snubbed that real badly. Like, he really balls that one up. It was just really, really good stuff. I thought the promo beforehand from Cody was great. I thought the video package with the promo from Ricky was very cool in establishing himself. And yeah, I just think that the fact that it wasn't someone who was previously signed with AEW really opens up this TNT title to feel like a little bit more than it already was, and I really like that, and I really dig that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
So let's do our $25 a month or more Pledge Hammer shout outs before we get on with the rest of your super chats. Remember, Pledge Hammers, Wrestle Talk Extra is available for you right now, a 3-hour podcast of me, Luke, and Brian Joyce reviewing New Japan Dominion from 2018 with Okada versus Omega 4. What a show. Go over to Patreon to become a Pledge Hammer today to get that exclusively. Right, and our shout-outs to our $25 backers, Arnie K. The K stands for the coolest dude ever. You've returned after several months. It's nice to have you back, buddy.
So nice to have you back. Ryan Disco Stewart.
Ooh, Disco Stewart. Liam, top tier.
Like tier, yeah. Yes. Yeah, very nice. Dincy Potter and the Noblet of Fire.
What a name. The Harbinger of Doom. Lee. Doom Lion.
Doom Lion. Marcus, he's got Sol Campbell. It's a football joke. Football's back. It's coming. It's come home.
Not a soldier. He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
I'm Woo. Sure he can. Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins. The Second Coming, Kev Jr.
Very nice. Hey now, you're an all-star, Chuck Taylor.
Thank you, Chuck Turner. Double J, James Jericho. That's a cool name anyway.
Cool name. And Colin McLean, than Finn Balor. He's so lean.
Thank you very much. And of course, our excellent moderators, full of Modiclorians, garage art with a V, Les, magnetic field, and the best, Dowd. See what you guys think in the super chat. I'm Ollie Davis, by the way, joined
other way
by Luke Owen. I didn't do that bit at the start. Just went straight into the titles.
It's because we got so confused over Abaddon.
Abaddon? Abaddon. Abaddon. Abaddon.
Abaddon. It could be, you know, Abaddon.
So get your super chats in throughout the entire show. We will read all of them right now on our main topic of the debuts. Josh Dominic says, the zombie girl is here. I have been begging AEW to sign Abaddon since her and Sheeta put on an awesome match on Dark a few months ago.
Do you know what? It was so weird. I went back to watch the Sheeta Abaddon match. How I'm doing it. Is it Abaddon? I don't even know anymore. Like
Abaddon.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to say Abaddon for now. I went back and I watched it, and there was a huge crowd there. And it felt so alien. It felt so weird.
It felt so Statlander. Nick Corvello here with a very generous super chat. Thank you very much. I really hope Dark Order helping Anna Jay to the back was a red herring to confuse Trick Cabana. Because if Anna joins, I'm afraid she'll lose the gimmick she didn't even have a chance to try to get over. And that saddens me as I like her aesthetic now. You mean the aesthetic being Zatanna from DC Comics. She's kind of got the Playboy Bunny tuxedo short outfit with a big bow tie and top hat.
Yeah, I don't want to say showgirls-esque, but like magician-esque, like a Vegas magician type thing, I would say. It's a very cool look. It's a very like unique and distinctive look, you know, and I really enjoyed her gimmick. I think her joining the Dark Order doesn't necessarily mean you're never going to see that again. You know, you can just get it if she turns babyface and joins or leaves that group. But I think it's actually just something that's quite interesting for Anna Jay to instantly be going into this. You're right, like losing that look is a bit of a shame, but it doesn't mean it's gone forever.
I also think it's not just the benefit for Anna Jay. It's great to see her get that kind of big faction push. I think it's really good for the Dark Order to get a lady member in there. Dylan from Cork.
Hey, Dylan.
Vince Russo cameo getting fan. Hey, Ashleen as well. Suffering from one hell of a hangover this morning. I wonder why. But really enjoyed this episode of Dynamite this morning. Abaddon looks absolutely insane. Jam that jam. Copyright of Andy Datson.
While you were reading one of those super chats that I just read through, I did quickly re-listen to Justin Roberts' introduction of her. Abaddon is right.
Abaddon. To reference the Jam That Jam as well, get your Jam That Jam t-shirt. My lady partner said, what is the design? And I said, it's a jam jar with the mustache of Hulk Hogan on. And I couldn't finish the sentence without laughing. It's like this quite impromptu guffawing. If anyone who buys a Jam That Jam t-shirt before the end of June will be entered into a competition to win an Adam Blompier signed Quizzlemania trophy.
Wow. And I know you don't watch shows you're not a part of, but on last night's Quizzlemania, I also announced that if I see someone wearing this t-shirt at a wrestling show, I will buy them a pint.
Nice. That's such a heel promise when there's going to be no fans at wrestling shows for months and months and months. Friends and family is what's allowed now. Lena Bliss, as a lover of horror movies, I'm so into Abaddon.
Abaddon.
You are a horror movie fan, Luke?
I am. I am indeed. And do you know what else I'm a fan of? Rob Bloody Zombie. So her being the Living Dead girl is right within my wheelhouse. Really, really like that.
Gavin Elks, did anybody notice another Cody Four Horsemen tease? So maybe it wasn't so much the four people of the elite. Were you teasing a Four Horsemen?
Yeah, yes. Come on, man.
Sorry, I thought he was about there's only four people in the elite left now.
He's teasing Four Horsemen.
That's pretty cool. Cody getting his own Four Horsemen. That'd be wicked. Scratching his face, then chest deliberately with four fingers. Not in a natural way. Needs to happen. It's too subtle for this idiot.
I was going to say, as someone who then tried to scratch his beard with four fingers, it is an unnatural way of doing it.
Sam Wall, when Sammy got crotched on the top rope, he said, "Oh my Spanish God," instead of "Oh my God."
Very good.
The guy's great. Degenerate Forever 84 in Supernatural.
Abaddon.
I'm stressing so much over it now, I can't even remember the right way. Abaddon means Night of Hell. So maybe that's what I was...
Do you know what, dude? The easiest way to remember this is that, you know, Night of Hell, Abba. That's all you need to remember. So there you go. Like, the two are intrinsically linked together.
Do you not like Abba?
I'm not a fan of Abba. No, not really. Like, they are perfectly fine pop music, but it's... Now we're going to go on opposite sides of the screen. Now the names are wrong.
Hey! Ho-ho!
Come on now.
We're here now. He says, live you guys. I think that means love. Hashtag jam that jam. And Lina Bliss, finally for now, would be into a female Dark Order member. Totally agree.
And like that really adds some storylines into that women's division as well, which and you know, some real big characters, which is really needed. I do want to also stress as well, I think Abba are fine. I think their pop music is very, very good. It's just not my cup of tea.
Some of the greatest songs of all time. Remember,
their songs are catchy, but so is Syphilis.
Remember, get your Jam That Jam t-shirt. The views of Luke Owen on ABBA do not reflect the views of Wrestle Talk. I think we're going to have words in the morning call tomorrow, mate. We can have words.
And in more words than the fact that you stabbed me in the back on Diplomacy this morning.
A week into a game called Diplomacy, folks, and we all hate each other.
Like, everyone is stabbing me in the back right now. The whole point was to gang up on Adam.
The tagline of the game is called Ruining Friendships Since 1950-something. Also, not just Jam That Jam, you can support us in another way, and that is becoming a pledge hammer on Patreon, because Luke, what just went up there?
Oh, I'll tell you what just went up there. Our review of Dominion 2018. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, that's a show that sounds familiar. I think I might have heard that name before. You sure have, because that's the show with Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega 4. There's that 4 again. It is the greatest wrestling match of all time. Like, it's not, there's no debate around it. There is no discussion to be had. It's the greatest wrestling match ever. I know some people have said the 60-minute time limit draw is better. And you know what? There is an argument for that. Is an argument for that. But personally for me, the number 4 is the greatest wrestling match ever.
It's incredible.
When we sat down to record it, we had like to do something at 3. It was like, well, we'll record at 2. There's no way we can talk about the main event for an hour. Well, guess what, folks? We talked about the main event for an hour. There's so much to talk about. It's so good.
with Tempest. If you enjoyed Tempest, Brian Joyce, on last night's Quizlemania, he's a New Japan expert, so we got him in to sort of fill in all our knowledge gaps. It's very interesting. So let's do a play-by-play of last night's Dynamite. I'm pretty sure this was a new intro. If it's been going before, I apologise.
No, they basically change it every week.
Do they?
Yeah.
How did I only notice it this week?
I have no idea. I sometimes don't notice it because that's when I'm creating my document in Google Drive to start taking my notes.
Well, it was very cool. Well done, AEW. That's good. And it opened with the tag team title match. Some people have been saying, oh, you should pay attention. This is why they got a shot above every other person in the rankings, and the best friends put their shot on the line for Fyter Fest. But whatever. I do pay close attention. And I don't think this is the most effective way to structure your rankings. Either have proper rankings and give title shots to people only get to the top, or don't have them.
I completely agree. I think the fact that like Hangman Page and Kenny Omega have had like two title defenses in the lead up to them feuding, like surely what you want to be doing now is building up the feud with best friends as opposed to building up who is going to be facing for the titles at Fyter Fest. Like we've already established who that's going to be. It was best friends. They won their match at Double or Nothing on the buy-in. So let's just focus on that now, because do you know what? You've already started on that in the QT Marshall arena part of this show when you had the feud between Kenny and Trent. So just build on some of that now that Hangman's back, because I want to get back to the dissension between Hangman and Omega. I want to get back into that dynamic. I want to see more of Kenny and Trent and how Chucky gets into all of this. I love the fact that best friends are also feuding within a circle. That's fine. You can do that. But it also then muddles this when you've got them defending their titles every couple of weeks. Like you say, you either have the ranking system or you don't.
Yeah. So this started off with the Nightmare family. No, the Natural Nightmares, my apologies, going against Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. This was announced last week. And it was a decent opener. It wasn't as good as the last tag match that Page and Omega had. But QT Marshall was pretty fun. Got to hit a diamond cutter in there. Ali, who has sort of been flirting weirdly with QT Marshall.
So she's dating QT Marshall. Do you know how much? I actually watched a bit of Dark this week. Like I had a spare sort of 5 to 8 minutes in my working day. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch something from Dark. And the match I went to go watch was Ali and Brandi Rhodes had been forced to tag together. And I was like, you know what? They're doing this storyline on Dynamite. I'm going to look into this. And it was fine. Like it was okay. It does not belong on Dynamite, so probably best to put it on Dark. It was fine. So I now have more of a grasp on this story. Ali and QT Marshall are dating, but Brandi doesn't like it and does not trust her. They were mistrust this, that, and the other. They still picked up the win.
Yeah, I thought Ali was going to play into the finish some way here. Like, that's the whole reason she's been part of this story. But no, she just watched on, didn't interfere at all. As we got the V-Trigger Buckshot Lariat sandwich. So cool. Yeah. They retained, like you said. Yes. But the most fun thing here, apart from a lot of swears, or a lot of bleeped words from people swearing at each other in the ring, was Britt Baker in the crowd. Britt Baker, somehow injured, is the best thing on Dynamite at the moment.
Yes, she has created a pulley system to send notes up to Tony Schiavone on commentary. She's moved her Rolls Royce to be closer to Tony so she can give him messages. I love Britt Baker. I just think she's so, so great in this character. It's almost like she's gotten better since she got injured. And it's absolutely amazing work. I love this frenemy relationship between her and Tony, because Tony seems so innocent in all of this and Britt's such a knob about it. It's just so, it's quite lovely.
who if you said, all right, we're going to take Britt Baker, we're going to turn her heel, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's good. We're going to sort of create this relationship with Tony Schiavone as well. I'd be like, whoa. That's not going to work. I can't see that happening. But my bloody God, it's one of the most entertaining things on the whole promotion right now. And that's just a part of Baker's overall character. On top of that, you've got the conspiracy theory with Aubrey Edwards. You've got Rebel. Oh, I can't remember her name.
It is Rebel. Here.
It's still Rebel.
I think they call her Rebel. Don't they? Well, she calls her Reba because she doesn't know her name.
Rebel from TNA. It's like her helper. She's there. There's the feud with Big Swole. There's the giant wheelchair Rolls Royce thing. This is incredibly fleshed out character work. It's terrific.
And it led to some really fun stuff on this show as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that shortly. After that, we got the Anna Jay Abaddon match with that. We've already talked about the stuff. But yeah, Colt Cabana was given a envelope from Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. And I now looking back on it, I'm pretty sure it's a contract. I think yes. That's quite a fun, it's a fun thing to play into.
So what it was, the commentator said later on in the show, it was a match contract for him to tag with Brody Lee for next week's show. And they did like a social media interview with Colt Cabana where he said he hasn't joined the Dark Order. He said, I talk to a lot of wrestlers. It's just that the cameras caught me talking to Brody Lee. You know, I was also talking to Sonny Kiss. I was talking to Private Party. It doesn't mean I'm joining their teams. And he gave a character reason as to why he's accepted this match, which is he's lost his previous two Dynamite matches, the high profile ones that he was granted against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. How many more, so I shouldn't really be granted any more high profile matches by AEW's booking team because I haven't proved myself. So when an opportunity arises for me to have a high profile tag match, yeah, I'm going to accept it, but it doesn't mean I'm joining the Dark Order.
That's really nice character work there because it's a slow turn. It's a slow descent into the heel tactics. Like, this isn't a babyface move to team with the Dark Order, but it's not a fully heel one as well when you give it that reasoning. Really, really nice stuff there. I hope they lean into the contract offers more, you know, as part of the whole Mr. McMahon gimmick that is totally not a part of the Mr. Brody Lee character. It's a mafia thing, remember?
It's totally coincidental.
On WWE.
I've got to say, though, when Brody Lee was like offering out his hand to Anna Jay, he looked so cool. And like the whole group behind him. We did have our reservations of how this was all going to fit, like this, you know, third or fourth iteration of the Dark Order that we've had, how it was all going to fit together. And man, it works so well. They got it now.
Yeah, this version of the faction feels like you could suddenly do the angle that they tried last December. And I'd be like, okay, here we go now, as opposed to, where the F has this come from? I hate this. Look at that guy's punches. I got quite excited, actually, when that contract was handed over, because initially it was an envelope. I thought, is that like a command? Is it just like on the paper, is it going to say, beat her up? And Colt Cabana would have to get in the ring and be like, do you want me to beat up Anna Jay as like an initiation thing? And then like he says, no, I'm not going to do that. But you slowly chip away at him. But this is also very effective. After that, we got MJF versus Billy Gunn, which was set up on last week's show. Just a really, really smart way to give MJF a very credible win.
There were so many fun spots in this that I really liked, but my favorite was the one that was right at the start where MJF tries to do an arm drag, cannot do it because Billy Gunn's too big, so he just pretends that he was trying to shake his hand the entire time. Like a show of respect. It was so funny.
There was lots of tomfoolery like that. MJF, you know, at one point walks off, says he's had enough. Billy Gunn walks backstage and carries him back out. And you could be like, ooh, I'm not a fan of the big legend guy dominating the young guy so much. Seems counterproductive for what AEW are trying to achieve. But in the middle part of the match, MJF turned that on his head, viciously went for Gunn's ankle. And all of a sudden, the story was this young, very talented heel is just killing the legend of this of Billy Gunn. But it did require Wardlow's interference after the Fame-Arthur slipped in the diamond ring. The punch got the victory.
Yeah. Smart finish. I really, really like this stuff. And then afterwards, MJF got into an argument with Jurassic Express, who he'd been sort of like mouthing off to afterwards. And then there's a massive fight broke out, like way bigger than it probably should have been for MJF versus Jungle Boy. Just like the entire roster was out there to break it up.
I enjoyed it, though. I thought that was really it was pretty cool. Yeah. I like that eternal, the eternal feud nature to their relationship. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara spoke to Alex Marvez backstage about Orange Cassidy. Then we got Tony Schiavone next to Britt Baker on her Rolls Royce. And Britt Baker's there thinking, oh, okay, here's my weekly interview segment. It's going to be all about me. But Tony just says, I'm here to announce that Penelope Ford will take on Shida at Fyter Fest. How do you feel about that, Britt? And Britt was pissed off because it wasn't all about her. So she said, get me out of here. I'm not going to speak to you, Tony. We're on a friendship timeout. And that's when it's revealed that Rebel is no longer driving her sort of go. There are so many golf carts in this stadium. Her golf cart throne thing. Big Swole is.
Yeah,
and Big Swole just drove off with her. This was some like the good part of the zany comedy of the Attitude Era. It was that kind of skit.
Big Swole got to do the Undertaker. Where to, Stephanie?
This was fantastic.
I really, really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And like, it's nice that we're building to Britt Baker versus Big Swole likely for All Out. I think that's really cool. Like, you could do some good stuff now building Big Swole over the next couple of months leading into August to have the big high profile match when Britt Baker comes back.
Definitely. After that, we got the Cody Rhodes versus Ricky Starks match, which we've already talked about. Hager's watching on from backstage, by the way. This is to keep their feud going for Fyter Fest. And then we got the Young Bucks versus the Super Bad Squad of Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. And this was a decent match, but I just couldn't stop thinking about all the bloody tag teams. My God, AEW has all the tag teams. Holy crap. How can it get any better?
This episode of Dynamite had six different tag teams where you're like, wow, okay, they all feel like really big established tag teams. This match had two other tag teams that were involved in this. And then you think, there are other tag teams that aren't even on this show. Like, the Lucha Brothers weren't on this show. Private Party weren't on this show. LAX weren't on this show. And it's like, it just keeps going. And none of them feel like they're rubbish. Like, you said it quite brilliantly. They've established tiers. Like, there isn't just tag teams. There is a tag team division where you have people who feel like main event tag teams, people who feel like mid-card tag teams, and people who feel like establishing tag teams. It's really, really great.
Yeah, because you look at the tag division and you're like, man, I guess it's Best Friends, it's Young Bucks, it's Omega and Page, it's Private Party. And then you're like, wait a second. No. You've got Omega and Page at the top. Then you've got the Bucks and I guess FTR and I guess Lucha Bros. And I also guess maybe Best Friends. And then beneath that, you've probably got Best Friends, actually, that the Natural Nightmares, Private Party. And then below that, you've got like Super Bad Squad, maybe. But even they've been doing really well. You've got you have a tag division that has the same amount of depth and storyline intrigue and feuds as the singles.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before. You know, my favorite eras of WWE have mostly been around three different tag teams, I guess. New Japan has a junior and heavyweight tag division and the never openweight six-man tags as well. But even then, with all their, it's more like multi-man factions as opposed to teams that represent the lineups there. This is like, when AEW promised that they are going to revolutionize tag team wrestling, I, in my wildest optimistic dreams, couldn't have imagined the level of talent they'd be able to accommodate here and get over. It's incredible. And I hope it does build to a tag match, main event, and a pay-per-view. I think that's going to be the big homecoming moment.
So AEW have lucked out. Not lucked out. They have prospered. They have profited from WWE's disinterest in tag team wrestling. Like, in the way that WWE's big push for the women's evolution and women's revolution really hindered AEW signing up any talent, because WWE hoovered up all of the talent around the independent circuit to build the Mae Young Classic and NXT and NXT UK and the main roster and stuff. So AEW didn't really have a lot of people to choose from. WWE hate tag team wrestling. And so AEW have been able to be like, well, cool, we'll just hoover up all the tag teams then. We'll hoover up all the best independent talent and create this division here. And it's prospered because of it, because now the tag division feels like, I think I'm actually currently more interested in the tag division than I am the singles division, the men's singles division.
Yeah, I would agree, especially off of, yeah, ever since, excuse me, the Omega Page, which is really a singles storyline, I suppose, is the best thing in going in the tag division. And that's not to slight the rest of the tag division. It's just to say that's one of the best storylines in wrestling at the moment. To have that at the top, it just shows the tag division is so good that even single stars are stepping into it.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. This match was, you know, really good, as you'd expect. The Jimmy Havoc tried to use some kind of mallet, but Penelope Ford hit Nick Jackson behind the referee's back as he was trying to use that. There was some sort of shenanigans, but the Bucks won in the end. And that kicked off this big brawl with the Butcher and the Blade and FTR, who would come out to watch at ringside as well. And that's when, yes, you're like, my God, there are so many teams.
So the Bucks during this got into a bit of an argument with Butcher and Blade, who are watching at ringside, and then FTR just come out. Not again, like they said in their promo a couple of weeks ago, not to protect the Young Bucks, not to be on the side. They don't want the Young Bucks to have excuses when they beat them, which I just love as a story. I think is so, so smart. And yeah, yeah. And at the end of this, you had FTR doing their Mindbreaker, their new Spike Piledriver move. But you've, and then on the other side of that, you've got the Bucks doing a version of the Meltzer driver. So you've got the flashiness of the Bucks versus the old school of FTR in stereo. Really, really smart bit of like just sort of staging and stuff to build up to their eventual match, which I cannot wait for.
It's not just a match about who is the better team. It's about what is the better wrestling philosophy. It's so much bigger than that. Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
I think Dax shared the graphic of Superbad Squad versus the Young Bucks on Instagram, being like, oh, I bet there'll be loads of psychology in this match.
After that, we got Taz cutting an awesome promo on Jon Moxley with Brian Cage standing next to him. Taz is just terrific. He's so believable. He's full of piss and vinegar, really. And, you know, it's all about like, you think you're the miserable git, I'm the miserable git, and it's really well done. Brian Cage also spoke at the end of this.
Yeah.
It was fine, but it wasn't to the level where I think he should have. I think he's a lot more effective right now, staying silent, letting Taz do the talking. It's not that he was bad or anything. It's just he wasn't Taz. So yeah, why end the promo on him?
I agree. Yeah, but I thought Mox's promo was also very good.
Yeah, yeah, Mox got a sort of more pre-taped vignette off the back of that, which was really good. I'm low-key very excited for this feud. But I'm just, after that tag division segment, I couldn't stop thinking about that. Like, the tag belts were now the main event in my eyes. Then we cut back to the arena and we find Britt Baker, yes, who has been dumped in a skip by Big Swole. Rebel finds her there. And oh my God, this was just excellent levels of campiness. Baker gets up from out the skip and she's got mascara running everywhere and she has a banana peel on her head. And with that banana peel on her head, she says, I will get my revenge on you, Big Swole. That is such beautiful heel comeuppance.
Yeah, she's like, you will pay, not just in the ring, but also in actual cash. I'm going to sue you for everything you're worth. Do you know what? We've given a lot of praise to Britt Baker. I think we really need to give some praise to how good Rebel is in all of this as well. Like, her selling of Baker's demands and stuff. The fact that in this promo, in this segment, Baker fired her and rehired her, had a go at, like, asked her to send a text message, had a go at her for sending a text message, and then asked her to send a text message again. Like, it's, yeah. And Rebel's selling of all of this is really, really good. Like, the partnership is, it works wonderfully. And yeah, Baker coming out like Oscar the Grouch to cut this promo on Big Swole. I'm genuinely really into this feud. Really, really am.
Yeah, yeah, because we're going to have the Swole match, then hopefully maybe a Shida title match or whoever's the champion when Britt Baker's available to compete again. And then, yeah, it's going to be that story of Rebel rising up against her. Just mm-hmm. great stuff. The main event was Best Friends versus In a Circle with that tag team title shot on the line. Matt Hardy came out to sort of do guest commentary as well. This was good.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, that there's a level of wrestling on AEW where it's all of, you know, of a very high level, really. So this was just a standard, very good match.
That's it, yeah. Like, it's kind of like, you know, when you watch, if you watch NXT on a weekly basis, you do get used to the fact it's just like, oh, yeah, there's really good matches every single week on television. So when it comes down to talking about it with your friends, or in this case, you know, us talking to you guys, our other friends, you're like, yeah, another consistently good match. It sounds like you're not into it. It sounds like it's damning with faint praise, but like, no, it's excellent wrestling. It's just that there were also three other excellent wrestling matches on this show. Whereas like on a different show, perhaps, where you might have one excellent match and 10 other pretty rubbish matches, that one excellent match is really going to stand out. So it's certainly not damning to say like, oh God, another excellent wrestling match as the main event of this show. And it was another excellent match. It's got some problems in there because you've got Best Friends putting their tag title match on the line against Les Sex Gods. The storyline reasoning for it is there. You know, the Sex Gods, Jericho, like, they wanted a match against Jericho because of what Jericho did to them last week in Orange Cassidy. And Jericho said, the only way I'm going to give you this match is if you put your number one contendership on the line. That's all fine. But I don't think AEW did a good enough job of establishing that to the storyline going into this. Like, it feels like that was all just done on Twitter. And then you're watching the show with them assuming you've seen all that stuff on Twitter. So you're already caught up. Which is one of my biggest pet peeves in wrestling, kind of modern day wrestling, is that companies just assume that you are tapped into everything, and some people aren't. I'm in my mid 30s. I'm trying to buy a house. I've got other things on my mind. Like, I can't be tapped into all of this. So I do need the show to say, this is what the story is. Are you now caught up?
Plus, it's not the most effective way to tell the story. If you really wanted to make it a big deal, as opposed to just, oh, we need a stake for this match, or kind of a reason for it to happen, have an angle on this show which sets up the match for next week. You know, yeah. Okay, we will put on a, or like the Inner Circle get Orange Cassidy and threaten to beat him up even more, and the Best Friends are like, all right, we'll put the shot on the line, something like that. And then, you know, do a couple of weeks where it's also Hangman Page and Omega involved in all this. Make it seem like the Inner Circle are going to get that tag title shot. So yeah, there is a more effective way to tell this story, I agree.
Yeah.
But the Best Friends retained. Trent, they're still putting him over very strong. He kicked out of the Floyd baseball attack and the Shooting Star Press from Sammy Guevara. I really saw the future in this. You know, when you get these glimpses like a crystal ball, and I'm like, Trent versus Jericho. Like, I can totally see Jericho wanting to do a program with Trent and maybe even putting him over at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I really, really liked about this match is that because there was that tag title shot on the line in this, it did actually add, you know, neat stakes to this match. And when they hit Trent with the baseball bat and the Shooting Star Press, I did really buy into that near fall of like, oh my God, Les Sex Gods are going to win this and possibly delay the Best Friends, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page match. But like, no, like, they put over Best Friends very, very strong in this.
Yeah. After the match, Orange Cassidy reveals himself as a crew member and actually gives some effort and starts wailing on Jericho. And that's how the show went off air.
And this is why the Orange Cassidy character is so, so great. And I think why a lot of people don't really, like, if people just see GIFs of Orange Cassidy, you don't get it. But when you actually watch him perform and then you watch him in a segment like this, you're like, oh, right, yeah, I really do get what's going on. I really understand what this character is all about. So yeah, so he was a cameraman on the outside. He actually tripped Sammy Guevara at the end of the match to lead to the finish. And they were putting over, like, oh, like even the cameramen don't like Sammy Guevara. That kid really can't catch a break. And then he reveals himself to be Orange Cassidy. And it's not Cassidy doing the, you know, his low effort super kicks. This was Cassidy pissed off. This was Cassidy just being like, I'm abandoning the pretense. And I'm going straight in for the kill on Jericho. And that was really effective because you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that side of him. It's just a genius, genius character. And yeah, I really, really liked this angle for, you know, and then after he's done that and sent Jericho packing, then he goes back to being Orange Cassidy. The jacket comes on, the glasses are on so he can stand there to be hugged by the best friends. It's just wonderful stuff.
Yeah, really good. Looking forward to that eventual singles match. So overall, I kind of similar to the it's just a very good match again, I gave this a middle of the roads, a 3 out of 5. Yeah, it was all very good, but, you know, by AEW's own very high standards, it's an average show.
Yeah, I mean, basically, AEW's average show is a 4 out of 5 show. Like, that is the way to look at it. So you kind of had to adjust things and to make that now the 3 out of 5 show, which makes it sound like you are damning it. But actually, I was really, really impressed with this. And I very much, like, every week I enjoy Dynamite. It's really, really good television.
Yeah, definitely. Right, so the rest of your super chats. Mark Farley, who does Orange Cassidy face at All Out in reality and dream match?
Ooh, I don't know of that one, because I thought they might do the Jericho match at All Out, but they're doing it at Fyter Fest. So, yeah, I thought they might stretch it out. Well, we wait and see. I'm not sure on that one.
Or you do Jericho and Sammy versus Cassidy and Tyson as the big celebrity match. Josh DeDominics, I noticed in the main event, Colt Cabana was still just sitting there holding the envelope, staring off into space. I noticed that too as well. Amazing character work. Great bit of character work there.
Yeah, I didn't spot that, but that is really nice.
Christopher Jazzcat, one thing that got people excited about AEW initially was fast-paced action. They seem to be slowing down, doing more rest holds lately. Thoughts?
I hadn't noticed.
No, I don't think that's the case. Maybe it's just FTR in the tag division? I don't know.
No, yeah.
Matthew Robinson, love Britt's part with putting Schiavone in friendship timeout and then later with Reba at the trash can. Look, love how she took being fired as being free.
Such a great partnership.
Yeah. Matthew Robinson, I love the Dark Order making moves. They are elevating their numbers in a really good story way.
Do you know, actually, the other thing I did watch from Dark was Uno and Grayson had a tag match, because I've missed seeing them have tag matches.
Uno and Grayson are a tag team.
I know, there's another one. And they had their match. Brody Lee wasn't out with them, but they did have the other members of the Dark Orders. They had Reynolds and Silver, I think, is the other one, and 10 and 5, I think, were also there. And just the four of them standing at the top of the ramp, just staring on the match, really, like, it just bolstered the whole image of the Dark Order. It was really cool.
Matthew Robinson, I love the venue that they have been using. Love that you see the sun out for the first matches, and it gives you a totally different vibe from the end of the show in the dark.
Yes, very nice.
It was
nice.
A really beautiful shot where you could see sort of the Florida sunset, that kind of Miami Vice neon sky that they have. James Hanley, a Cody heel term makes sense if you view it from the scope of the TNT title. He can never win the world title, so instead will hold the TNT title with an iron fist until Darby takes it off him.
Yeah, that was the my fantasy booking I had with Adam for my Cody heel turn, which is that because he can't go for the AEW World Championship now, so the Elite effectively give it to him when it's been vacated as like a really good will gesture of like, you have earned this. And now that he's got it, he never wants to let it go, and that's what fuels the heel turn. So you could do that with the TNT title. I don't mind that at all.
He is a babyface forever. How dare you all. The Merciless. Do you think Abaddon will Abaddon. Be the AEW Women's... Women division's equivalent of the Fiend or something close to him?
I think just because they're... No, because The Fiend is totally different to... Yeah, I think just because they're spooky characters, yeah, Fiend is totally, totally different.
Yeah, there's a difference between sort of a gothic character like an Undertaker and what Bray Wyatt is doing, which is, you know, split identities, just a whole nother level of storytelling. Sir Chewiff, I will say it kind of was Ali's fault for QT to lose. She persuaded him to go to the top rope, which is what DDP told him not during the old promos.
Very nice.
That's interesting.
That's a nice bit of detail there. Well spotted, Sir Chewiff.
Miguel 8A, so happy to see Abaddon.
There it is.
Back on the AEW. After her first appearance, I went on a dive into all her matches. Have to say she is awesome.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of love for her in the chat. Shannon Smith, I like the new results of AEW Dark Show now. Yes, it was scrolling on a ticker along the bottom.
Yeah, really, really nice. Because that's the one thing we've said about Dark since it came in is like you should try and make it feel a bit more important, because they do a lot of stuff on Dark that then plays off into Dynamite, but they never show Dark. Like they never show like recap. Like they've done it a handful of times where it's like, well, if you got this, use it to fuel the storyline, like show us and, you know, show, don't tell. And so, yeah, so I actually really like the fact they had the results there. It makes Dark feel like a big deal.
Yeah. Over to you, Monfreya.
On AEW-related discussion point, Nick Corvello says, I'm glad for the women's division progress, but they still need to do more work in the Shida-Ford title feud. Completely agree. Why didn't they confront each other this week? Shida deserves better than a boring reign. Also, she needs mic time and promos. Certainly promo packages, absolutely. And like it really... What kind of hit me home with that is that Ford was just out there as the valet for the Super Bad Squad match. Like, she didn't feel like that world title contender because she was the valet for a team. And like, there's nothing wrong with being a valet if you're not presented as being just the person who goes in there to do some interference spots. And she didn't feel like she was a world title contender. So yeah, no, I completely agree with Nick on that one. British Anger says, Omega Page didn't defend the belt for 2 months of Carino Insanity. Again, title shots align, but are not limited to specifically ranking. Omega Page didn't defend for about 2 months because of Steve Carino Insanity. Title shots align with, but are not limited to ranking specifically.
Right. Yeah. So they're saying that you can get title shots whenever, but the being at the top of the rankings sort of guarantees you a title shot.
Yep.
Okay, I think that's clunky.
I was going to say the problem is that they're having their cake and eating it. Like they're doing both. Like you do one or the other. Like, and you can't do both at the same time. Also, I think have your cake and eat it is one of the more clunky phrases that we have in the English vernacular, because what else are you going to do with a cake? Like, of course you're going to eat it. Matthew Robinson, after the Mox cage match, who should face Mox next? Luke, will your marriage survive another week of Quizzlemania? Yes, I believe so. Now, I mean, I'll be honest, she wasn't best pleased. You know, this morning we were just lying in bed. She goes, did you win last night? I was like, yes. And she's like, oh my God, come on.
What did it cost? Everything.
But yeah, I don't know about Mox. I mean, we don't know if Mox is retaining, so who knows, mate? We'll have to find out when we get there. Sawyer, I really like the extra layer of being able to use one's rankings as a desperation bartering chip, like if someone needs revenge in a blood feud. Hopefully AEW gets better at conveying these transactions on TV. Yes, that's exactly it, Sawyer. It's perfectly good as a storyline thing. It's just you've got to convey that story better. Myron Speed, Britt and Sammy are the MVPs right now. So good. Congrats on the retention. Luke, Ollie, don't hide under a mask next week. Rampage, it was great. Jam that jam.
Yeah, that was definitely me. I knew that much.
Christopher Jazzcat, the tag division is the best thing about AEW. Hopefully they eventually bring in Red Dragon. Their old matches with the Young Bucks were amazing.
That would be too much to have Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly in there as well. I mean, the tag division is incredible about AEW, but I don't think it's their best thing. I think they've got multiple best things. That's what makes it so good. Shall I take over?
You take over, please.
Zane Brenzel, if Cody got his own horseman, who is your dream members? Should he recruit like the Dark Order, but with main eventers? FTR as the new Arn and Tully?
Well, FTR did say that they didn't want to be part of like a group. I think one of them said something about that. So, I mean, yeah, FTR would be perfect. Do you know what? I'd like to see Sean in the group, because then you have Arn and Tully as like you know, originating members there as sort of like now the new mentors, and you have Cody and Shawn Spears in there with their history as well. I think that'd be really nice, particularly if they're feuding with someone like Darby Allin, you know, as sort of like if you put Darby in the Dusty role effectively.
If MJF hadn't broken up that friendship and we were still in that, I think that would have been a terrific member as well. Saxon H, with all the Steve Corino news from WWE, do you think Seth will stop appearing as Becky is pregnant? I fully expect that to happen anyway. You know, his fiance is pregnant. I imagine he'll be stepping away in the next couple of months. It'll be very irresponsible if he continues to work, I think. Sats Vault, how would AJ Styles say Abaddon?
Abaddon? Abaddon?
British anger, golf carts equals Florida, so that's why there's so many there. Michael Dominguez, if Owen Hart was born 25 years later, versus Omega equals greatness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Would have been incredible. Jobber JJ 496, Street Profits Viking Raiders was afraid of Brit. Because in the dumpster, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Could be. I've got a couple over here as well. Nate Drop Surname says, you're going to have to start watching Dark now that they post the results along the bottom and reference it on Dynamite. Can't wait for Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Support each other. I still don't have enough time in the week to watch Dark. Pace of Dawn, Ollie, are you making sure the audience in your reviews is getting tested for Carino? Seems like someone seems to cough a lot.
Well, it's friends and family, so we're definitely safe there. The cuddly section.
On the subject of WrestleTalk related, Good Harmer says, I sent 2 times the super chat on the wrong place. Just want to thank you guys for the lovely time. Started with WrestleTalk a few months before Luke joined. I miss Luke mimicking Ollie on the start of the Wrestle Ramble so much. The good old people hated me doing that for a while. That got me massive amounts of hate. Luke, have you read or seen A Man Called Ove? I have not. No, I have not. Nick Corvello. Hey, guys. Wanted to say apologies for my pessimistic super chats. I'm just really worried about the women's division success. Just want to say thanks for doing these reviews. As always, glad I pulled an all-nighter to join today. Thank you very much. Nice to have you here.
Oh, we're glad you joined too, Nick. I think we've all been a bit pessimistic about the women's division recently, just because, you know, every time we put our faith in AEW to treat them better, they just go back to the old copy and paste stuff. So it's not unfounded pessimism, but yes, I think there's more reason to be optimistic now.
Mundy, could we have Sean wear a luchador mask next time he's on the show? It'll make it easier to look at that poor, miserable man. LOL, jam that jam.
Sean Ross Sapp.
Alistair Gammond, Ollie, don't go wasting your emotions on Luke.
Is that because of your tweet?
I think so, yeah. Because we don't have that. Little fuck there, mate. Did you think you'd get away with that?
No, I did it. I've been saving it. Oh, dear. We're in our 30s.
Very good. I'm trying to buy my second house. Sir Chirith, where to, Steph? Doctor. God damn it. And lastly, from Christopher Jazzcat, holy crap, they could even bring in Steen Erico.
Oh, imagine that. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Kevin Steen and El Generico, the versions there. Neither of them are working in WWE at the moment, but I think their contracts will take them up for ages.
I'm just so glad that we got the debut of the Omniflare on the WrestleTalk podcast.
People think it's a different sound effect. Nope. I'm busting out Parps, controlled Parps.
Parps fun known.
Parps fun. Here's Ollie hailing. Well.
Yeah, little pop at the end there. You were holding it in for quite a while.
So I tried to play it off like I planned that. But the truth is, we record these after lunch for me. And I get a bit poppy around this time. And every single one for the whole of lockdown so far has not picked up on the microphone. I don't know if you can sort of see the movement.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, but sometimes they catch you by surprise. That time I got cocky. I've had 3 months of no farts being picked up on the microphone, and it just came out.
I very much enjoyed it.
I'm just glad I'm not the first person to have farted on WrestleTalk content. That will always go to Andy Datson.
In fairness, Andy thought it was going to be edited out. More fool him, to be honest. It was never going to be edited out, mate. How is your... I don't really get to ask you about your weekends coming up now because you're too busy for us marks on the magazine show. So how are your...
Sorry, doing six WrestleTalk news episodes a week for 3 months.
Have you got any plans for this weekend?
Well, it's Father's Day here in the UK, and I am going to go down to my parents' garden and surprise them on the day. And it's going to be hard not to hug, I think. And I'm pretty sure everyone's going to cry. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird because we're all just going to have to stand there in the garden, 2 meters apart, crying at each other and then have cups of tea.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it sounds nice because at least you get to see your parents. It's lovely in a way, but also, man, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Because I'm not going to be able to see my folks until it's all over, like until lockdown is lifted, because like they live, 3.5 hours away from here, which I'm not sure you could really say is essential travel. I'm not getting my eyes tested, so I definitely can't say it's essential travel. It's a long way to go to just sort of sit in a garden 2 meters apart from each other and then drive all the way back in, because I can't stay there. So it's going to be weird kind of seeing people again. It's funny, I was talking to our social media manager about this, and she was saying, like, now that lockdown's sort of easing, are you guys going to be able to see each other? And I was like, no, because we all live so far apart from each other. Like, I'm not going to get to see you. I probably won't see you now until next year.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, we could, in the grand scheme of things, you live an hour away in the car from me. Everyone else is kind of, we could probably about half an hour from Luke, Laurie and Pete. But we can't really go and see each other because we'd have to use either public transport it's not like we can go into the office because we can't socially distance in the office. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe when society gets to a point where we can effectively create work pods, then we can go into the office because we know we're all seeing each other and no one else. But yeah, I think that's a long way away, unfortunately.
Indeed. Well, on to some brighter news. This was an email we had in from Nate, who says, "Dear Luke, Ollie, Adam, Pete, Laurie, and all you WrestleTalk studs, I emailed earlier this year that my wife had a very difficult pregnancy and not sure what was to come. Well, we welcomed our 9th child on January 31st, and with all of the warm thoughts and prayers from everyone at the SWAF Nation and friends, Grace Jofine was welcomed to this world. After 4 hours in surgery, my wife is also doing very well. We're now 4 months
fantastic.
Later. We're now 4 months later, everyone is doing awesome. We are cruising right along, despite Steve Carino trying to keep us all away. Thank you for your content and the greatest podcast I've heard in some time, Quizzlemania. Thanks to all you do, keeping me sane and helping my anxiety for the whole situation. Here is the whole family, minus my wife, because she hates pictures." So I forwarded this across to you the other day.
Yes. But
there is Nate and the 9 children of the Porter family.
Good grief. Yeah, I'm looking at them now. Well, actually, there's eight children lined up in height order.
Yes.
And then there's another picture of a baby wrapped in an avocado blanket. Yes. Cool. Oh, congratulations. I'm so happy to hear that because, that was a... can only imagine what you must have been going through. That sort of worry that, you know, I couldn't even relate.
Yeah, absolutely not. This is an email that comes in from Jordan. I genuinely did not mean to do this, but that is an email that is specifically for the magazine show. Me and Adam,
son of a bitch.
I genuinely didn't mean to do that. I need to mark these better a little bit. Sorry about that, mate.
That was for the SmackDown podcast. Oh no, that was for the magazine podcast. Did you ever make these mistakes on the magazine one? Oh no, sorry, that one's for Ollie. I bet you don't.
No, because we don't have any emails that are just for you and I anymore. This team has grown, has outgrown us, man. This podcast has outgrown us.
I've got to start undermining people more.
This one comes in from Matthew, who says, "Hi, Ollie and Luke. Now that
that's for us."
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm reading this out. I'm reading out a different email.
Well, you said we don't get those anymore.
I know. I was just making fun, mate. Just making a bit of light of the situation.
You know, I'm not unaware that I'm not on all the shows anymore.
Hi, Ollie and Luke. Now that Anna Jay seems to have joined the Dark Order, do you think the Undisputed Era could benefit from having a female member, and who should it be?
I guess of all the people, Marina Shafir would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Because she's married to Roddy. But really, the best version would be Britt Baker joining Adam Cole. That would be such a deliciously heel double act on TV. Yeah. But I'd almost want to see them two separate from the Undisputed Era. But I don't see that happening. And I don't know if it should.
There was one thing I wanted to cover with you before I left here. Yes. So on the other day, I mean, me and my wife have been laughing about this for the last couple of days. So you're not on the old Twitter sphere, so you don't get to see a lot of this sort of content that gets shared around, this shareable sort of content. But it turns out Gen Zers, which is the generation after you and I, are now starting to get a bit mouthy about millennials. So you know the way that we have been making fun of boomers, they're now making fun of us. We're now the old people that the younger generation are making fun of.
Having a pop at that, they need to show some respect. And now I know how Natalia feels with Liv Morgan.
Someone posted up what Gen Z are saying about millennials in comments on TikTok videos. And these are like direct jabs. So this one says, millennials are worried about their Harry Potter house, and yet they're living in a one-bedroom apartment. Y'all are worrying about the wrong houses.
About the Harry Potter house?
As in, which Harry Potter house are you part of? Are you Gryffindor?
I see. We've used some kind of escapist fantasy land to distract from the awful economic situation we inherited. That is funny.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. These are very, very good observations. One of those, like, they always seem to have combined Harry Potter houses, like Gryffindor or something. Like, they've missed the whole point of Harry Potter. Like, then, this is the book that was written for our generation, and apparently we've totally misread it. What was the other one? There's one of these that really made me laugh. Oh, yeah, people who, they're making fun of people who use the term adulting. And this one was like, I hate adulting. Just give me a slice of pizza and wine. Like, Rebecca, you're 32 and an alcoholic. Please sit down.
So what this seems to be the theme is, Gen Zers feel like they're more grown up than we are.
Yes.
Because they have like sort of, we were born into technically boom years, I suppose, compared to Gen Z living through the financial crash of 2008. We had 2001. That was a pretty sobering early teenage situation.
This is someone's this is someone's review of millennials. All they do is drink wine, post cringy 90s kid memes, talk about tech startups, and lie.
And lie. that turned really hurtful.
We get it. You're a 90s kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's good. Look forward to loads more 90s references for the next 10 years. It's coming back hard.
Well, do you know what? I've been saying this for the last 20 years, I would like to add. So during the early 2000s, everyone was obsessed with the 80s because we have a 20-year bubble, really, 20 to 30-year bubble. You know, during the 70s, everyone was obsessed with the 50s. And then during the 90s, everyone was obsessed with the 70s. Then into the 2000s, everyone was obsessed with the 80s. Me, on the other hand, I was a 90s kid. I was like, no, the 90s is way better. TV shows were better. Films were better. And I was like, I was obsessed with the 90s when I was a student, when everyone was like being like, oh, no, 80s, that's where it's at. I'm like, no, literally, Baywatch is a way better show than Knight Rider. Let's all get on board. And now, and I didn't stop dressing like I did in the 90s either. So it now feels quite nice that I'm now actually on the precipice of culture touchstones, because I'm 30 years behind the times.
You're both ahead of the time and behind the time.
Oh, yes.
And now you've got that decade period where it all lines up. I was 1988, so I was 12 through to the late 90s. I think I'm a noughties kid. All of my sort of formative things are noughties, really. I've properly paid attention to.
Speaking of which, actually, you know, my wife and I watched Spider-Man 2 over the weekends.
What a movie!
And because, like, she was like, I really want to watch a Marvel movie. And I was like, well, we could watch Far From Home, but, like, we're sort of trying to watch the MCU in order. So I was like, well, let's not jump ahead to that. We'll watch Spider-Man 2. And she was like, is this the good one? And I was like, oh, I mean, this is the best Spider-Man movie. And within 10 minutes, she turned to me and was like, and this is the good one. With sort of like wide-eyed look.
And then about an hour, that's it. We're not getting the house anymore. I'm done.
And then about an hour in, she was like, I mean, this is bad though, isn't it? Like, it's really awful. Because, she was like, I mean, if you'd have told me that Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst had never met each other previously, I would believe you.
But it's kind of all done in that weird Sam Raimi soap opera style.
That's it. It was done when we didn't really know what a comic book movie was supposed to look like. And it is a very Sam Raimi style. And the fact that the acting and the dialogue is bad, I think it's on purpose, because it's meant to be like, the dialogue is as bad as a comic book dialogue would be. Like, Dr. Octopus literally has a monologue talking to himself that in a comic book would just be panels that are telling you, here is what this character is thinking. And Sam Raimi was like, how do I do that? I'll tell you what you do. You stand there and you monologue about how you've now got these arms and what you're going to do about that. And yeah, it's going to last about 5 minutes because we've got a lot we need to get in there.
But for me, like, I've forgotten his name. You just said it, didn't you?
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina's portrayal of Doc Ock and the whole Doc Ock arc throughout that film is one of the best character arcs. It's up there with like Iron Man's journey throughout the MCU. It's utterly captivating. I'm actually, because, you know, shout out to our sponsor, Surfshark VPN, I can finally get DC Universe, which is the app that's only available in America, annoyingly, which allows you to sort of read pretty much every DC comic ever. And I've actually gone back and started reading for the first time ever the Death of Superman series.
Oh, really? How are you finding it?
Early 90s, and you know me, apart from a few story arcs, I cannot get on board with anything sort of pre-late 90s comic book-wise, because I find a lot of it way too old comic book, really. And it is that there's so many thought bubbles, and thought bubbles they're not there in modern-day comics, really. It's a really dated way of moving the plot along, and this is ridden with them. However, I'm really enjoying it. It's weird how, like, there is no build for Doomsday, really. He's just there and he kills Superman. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's more about the aftermath of the death of Superman. It's really interesting.
Well, there you go. That's Ollie's comic book corner. I very much enjoyed that. I actually look forward to hearing what you're going to be watching next.
Oh, what did Kate say by the end of Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yes. Still didn't like it. Yeah, really didn't like it. And she also said that it was very early 2000s where these movies were made for boys because it's very shouty and it's very loud. There's just a lot of people screaming and shouting all the time.
But let us have our movies, Kate.
So yeah, so she did not get on board with it. In her defense, watching it back, oh man, what's his name? Who played Harry again? James Franco.
Yeah.
There's a line, like at the start of it, you know, when he first meets, like not first meets, but his first interaction with Peter in Spider-Man 2 was at Peter's birthday, which Peter's forgotten about. So what I did say, I did say to her, the reason why Spider-Man 2 is so good is because it's probably the only Spider-Man movie that really gets the difficulty of being Peter Parker and Spider-Man and how you juggle both of those. She argued that the Andrew Garfield ones did it slightly better. I know, but she really liked Andrew Garfield.
He's a prick in those movies.
That's what I said. I was actually trying to find the article that you wrote.
My Spider-Man's a dick.
And so Harry is just like, hey, Pete. And he's like, oh man, I've just been so tired. He's like, taking pictures of your friend Spider-Man, because obviously Spider-Man killed him. And he's like, hey, no, I don't really want to talk about that. And then there's two more lines. And then he's just having a chat with Peter, being like, yeah, no, I've just been really busy taking pictures of your friend Spider-Man. I was like, we literally just had this line 7 lines ago. But yeah, I like it. Anyway.
I like it too.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. A very farty episode, some might say. The fartiest episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast to date. Oh, I just knocked over a battery.
This is the fartest.
The NXT podcast will also be up today with the new tag team of Laurie and Adam reviewing that show for Marks. Me and Adam are going to be on the magazine show tomorrow with Louis Dangor, with one of his WrestleTalk exclusives, talking about a potential feud that could be happening this summer if all goes to plan. So he'll have more details on that tomorrow. And then Pete and Andy will be back for the SmackDown review on Saturday. There's no pay-per-view this weekend, is there?
I hope not. We haven't planned for it.
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.